great principles that constituted the lifeblood of the Reformation were really threefold. Sola Scriptura, the Scriptures alone. Sola Gratia, grace alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. In Luther's day, the Church of Rome had poisoned the spring of vital truth. Poisoned it in such a way that now the true gospel was not being heard. The true gospel was not going forth. The Church of Rome was teaching that the treasury of grace was open to man by way of fastings and pilgrimages and indulgences. She had perverted the doctrine of Scripture in a way that was most dangerous to the souls of men. But at the Reformation, the great doctrine that was brought out of the rubble of neglect and distortion was that of justification. Justification meaning the declaration of a true righteousness. This was the great fundamental distinguishing truth of the Reformation. And it has been regarded by all of the reformers as of primary and paramount importance. The teaching or the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Because any error here is going to be so dangerous. It's just as dangerous as a major flaw in the foundation of a building. Failure to know the significance of justification by faith alone means for men and women continuance in their bondage. Failure to comprehend it in its effect is to bring no comfort, no consolation to the souls of men. And remember this, that the Bible clearly and plainly teaches that each one of us is on our way to that final day of judgment. Paul in Romans 14 said, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. As he writes to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 9, he says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So the reality and the truth is this, that the youngest, right through to the oldest, will have his day in court, in heaven's court. Each will have dealings with God, and dealings with God as judge. For in that day, God himself will call his court to order. The judge will be on the bench. You, I, will stand before him. And the law of this court will be the basis on which you and I will be dealt with. By God, the same God who put us under the law of this court. So therefore, no one can afford to be ignorant or indifferent to these realities, because these are realities that bear upon our legal obligation to God. And at the center of all of these realities that bear upon our legal obligation to God is this reality of justifying grace. And so I want, for just a brief moment or two, to consider with you the real significance of this word justification. The real significance of it, this declaration of righteousness. Let's start by considering first of all the meaning of the word, the meaning of the verb to justify. The scriptures tell us that God justifieth or declares righteous the ungodly. And so the meaning is simply to declare or to pronounce just. That's the meaning. And it's important that we get this clearly in our minds. It's a declaration. It's a declaration, a pronouncement of righteousness. Now, it's a declaration of righteousness. Remember, I said a moment or two ago that the law of the court will be the basis on which God will deal with all who are before him, for he has put them under that law. So this declaration of being just, this declaration of righteousness, is therefore it's legal, it's forensic. You will know that when we speak about something that's forensic, it's pertaining to a court of law. It has to do really with a legal relationship. It doesn't have to do with the personal condition of the individual. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding here. You see, in the realm of the forensic, you're dealing with the judge. You're dealing with the judge. You're not dealing with the physician. You're not dealing with the surgeon. You are dealing with the judge. So to justify has to do with that which is legal. And that which is legal is connected with a standard. So to justify means to pronounce with respect to a standard that standard has to do with right and wrong. It doesn't have anything to do with what may happen in a person. It only has to do with that which will be declared true about a person and his or her relationship to the law of heaven's court. So justification, to justify, means to declare that a person isn't liable to punishment. But something more. It means also that the person is entitled to all the privileges of a lawkeeper. Can I try and illustrate it this way? Let's think about someone who's brought before a court on a particular charge of whatever it might be. And he's placed in custody. Now at that point, he hasn't been condemned, but neither has he been declared innocent. If he were declared innocent, he would then have all the privileges of a free citizen. Wouldn't you agree? He would have all the privileges of a free citizen if the declaration was, you're innocent, you're not guilty. But then the day comes for the trial. The case is heard. The prosecution and the defense. The jury considers its verdict. And then is called in and the verdict is given. And the declaration is not guilty. Not guilty. That individual can walk out not only with the words not guilty in his ear, and that means free from any punishment, doesn't it? Not guilty, free from any punishment. Ah, he walks out not only with those words, not guilty, free from any punishment in his ear, but he will enjoy all the privileges of a law-abiding citizen. Found not guilty. The declaration was made. It was a declaration made by the court that the person in question wasn't guilty. And not being found guilty, he's free to enjoy all the privileges of a lawkeeper. Now, just suppose after that declaration had been made, he was put back in custody. The sentence is not guilty. You say he's not guilty, but that's just a halfway point, isn't it? Only a halfway relief of the problem. But you see, he's got that declaration, not guilty. Then he's able to go free, as we have indicated. And you see, to sum up, to justify, to make a declaration of righteousness negatively, not guilty. Positively, a recipient of all of the privileges of a law keeper. That's the basic meaning of this verb, to justify, to make a declaration, to pronounce righteous. You might say, well, that sounds good, preacher. Are you sure about this? Are you sure that what you're saying is according to the Scriptures, according to God's holy word? Well, let's come and just turn to several verses of Scripture that will, I trust, give you the evidence to see clearly that what we have said is in accordance with the Word of God. To justify is to declare righteous. It's not to make righteous. It's to declare righteous. It's not that justification fixes a person up in some kind of a way and then, because of a sort of a fix-up, then there's a declaration made. No. No, it's not a making righteous. It's a declaring righteous, a pronouncing righteous. Let's keep that in our minds as we come to look at the evidence. You see, there are places in Scripture where the word can really have no other meaning other than this. I'm thinking, for example, I don't ask you to turn to them, I just read them to you. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1, listen to these words. If there be a controversy between men, and they come on to judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. We've got the court situation here. And there is the pronouncement by the judge, they shall justify the righteous, they shall condemn the wicked. Now, the judge cannot in court make a righteous man unrighteous, nor can he make an unrighteous man righteous. So if the word means anything other than to declare what is true in relationship to the law, and that's what we're saying, declaring what is true in relationship to the law, then that's borne out by that verse there in Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. But to show you another verse over in Proverbs, listen to these words. Proverbs 17 and verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Now, what is that saying? What does that mean? Well, in this verse here in Proverbs, God is condemning a judge who pronounces guilty those who are innocent, and pronounces innocent those who are guilty. God will not condemn unrighteous judgment and then be guilty of it himself, will he? Of course not. Because there's no injustice with God. God cannot lie. His declaration, his pronouncement, is always based on truth. Now, if the judge had the power to make a wicked man righteous, that would be truly a virtuous deed. But the text here says, he that declares a wicked man righteous when he is not, God says that's an abomination. Think about another verse, and then we'll try and tie it all together. Over in Luke 7, verse 29. And here we have the Lord Jesus speaking about John the Baptist. And then in verse 29 it says, "And all the people that heard him," that is, speak about John the Baptist, "and the publicans justified God." They all, this is what it says here, they all justified God. Now I ask you the question, could they make God righteous? Could they? You say no. No, they could not make God righteous. God is righteous. There can be that declaration, that pronouncement made. God is righteous. But there's no one who could make God righteous. So the point I want you to get is this. The evidence is here that to justify means to make a declaration about the person. Not to do something in the person. Think about another verse over in Luke 16. In verse 15. And here the Lord Jesus was saying in verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, this is what he said to them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves." He was speaking here to them, and this is just what he's telling them very plainly and very clearly. Look, what you're doing here is making a declaration about yourselves. You are saying that you're righteous, but they couldn't make themselves righteous, could they? No. They didn't make themselves righteous. They declared themselves righteous. Ah, but it was a sham. These Pharisees. It was an empty form. It was just a pretense. But the point I want you to get, the usage of the word here, is emphasizing that to justify is to make a declaration about, to make a pronouncement about. It's not to do something within. And so we could go on in verse after verse after verse, and we would see that the evidence is mounting up from the scriptures that to justify means to declare righteous, to pronounce righteous according to a standard, and that standard is the law of God. And if we don't get that clear in our minds, then we're going to really not get the necessary understanding and indeed comfort of heart that we need even as believers from this great doctrine, this great truth of justification by faith alone. Well, that brings us now, having shown you evidence from the scriptures that what we said about the meaning of the word is so, it brings us now to consider this evidence. We want to consider this evidence. You see, it's obviously possible that the judge in heaven's court, who knows every thought, every deed, every word, throughout the whole of your life, with a full knowledge of everything concerning you and a full knowledge of his own law, can, in the presence of the holy angels, I and the entire universe, make this pronouncement, this declaration, not guilty, not guilty, and the recipient of all of the blessings of a perfect law keeper. Yes. This is what's before us here. Let's consider this. But how can he do it? How can he do it? How could he make such a declaration? And yet this is the declaration that he will make for those who have the righteousness that his law requires. How is he going to do it? How is it going to come about? Every one of us shall give an account. So none of us are going to be exempt from the law of this court. None of us are going to face a lesser standard. There aren't going to be different degrees of standard of the law. There's just going to be the one standard for everybody. And since every one of us are going to appear before him, there's no way that we can in any way escape. There's no way that we can escape. So what does this really mean? What does it mean for you? Are you going to face that sentence of guilty? And then the follow-up with God pronouncing the punishment because you're guilty? You see, you need to consider this truth most seriously. This isn't something for theologians. This is something that impacts upon every one of us. This is something that impacts upon every heart and upon every life. You can't afford the luxury of being indifferent to this. Of somehow saying, well, I'm quite happy to be ignorant of this. I don't want to pay too much attention to this because it's not going to really affect me. It is. I mean, you're going to die, aren't you? You're going to die. I mean, death is coming. None of us know how soon, but it is coming. And we're going to stand before God. Now, if you have a deathbed, and you may not, but if you have a deathbed, I wonder what it's going to be like as you lie there with scenes of past life coming before you. All your sins, all your failures, all your shortcomings, all your transgressions, all of your rebellion against God. What comfort will you have? What consolation will you have? Conscience will be doing its work. What are you going to do? If you don't know the one who has kept this law, God's law, perfectly on your behalf. And there's one who has done that. Even the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what's recorded over in Luke chapter 18 about two men, a Pharisee and a publican. We're told in the 10th verse of that 18th chapter, they went up into the temple to pray, the Pharisee, the other, the publican. And the Pharisee, he says, I thank thee, I'm not as other men. Oh, I'm so much better than they are. But then there was the publican, and he couldn't as much as lift up his eyes to heaven, smites his breast, and cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we're told this man went down to his house, listen, this man went down to his house justified. Justified. There's the word, justified. This publican went down to his house justified, but the Pharisee, he didn't. Here's this poor man who recognizes his sinnership. Recognizes that he is a sinner before God. And he knows he has nothing within himself to commend himself to God. And yet he goes down from that place justified. There's a declaration has been made, a pronouncement has been made concerning him. Righteous. Righteous. But he was a sinner. You see, his justification didn't rest on anything in him, but it rested on God himself. You see, God has justified so many sinners, just like you. They cried out like the publican. They believed like the publican, and they were justified. But that justifying grace didn't come to the Pharisee. Why? Because he says, I really don't need it. It's really not for me. I don't need a righteousness that's based on someone else. I've got my own. I'm so much better than everybody else. I could look down at so many others. And they're big sinners, they're great sinners. But in comparison, you know, I'm not really too bad. That's why he was thinking. That was his mindset. Is that your mindset? Is that how you're thinking? Is that how you're reasoning? Well, God's message to you is so clear today. We were speaking a few moments ago about maybe you have a deathbed. Let's think for a moment about someone who's got just a few hours to go until he's executed, by way of trying to illustrate the point. And a letter comes. And the letter says, if you comply with the directives, you will justly and righteously avoid your impending death. He reads it, throws it away. What would you conclude? What would you conclude? Would you conclude that he has no love for life? Would that be a conclusion that you would draw? Would you conclude he's got absolutely no confidence in what was written in the letter that told him if he would carefully comply with the directives, he could be justly and righteously forgiven and avoid impending death? But he's discarded it. Could you draw a further conclusion that he has no conviction of heart about the certainty of the sentence that's coming down upon him? And he thinks that maybe it'll not happen. Maybe I'll be the one that will not experience it. I wonder, the situation that we have just tried to describe, has that described you? Remember, you're already condemned as a lawbreaker. God's law condemns you. As one outside of Jesus Christ, you're condemned as a lawbreaker. You're on death row. You're on death row. Maybe you've heard of others in a physical sense on death row. But you haven't realized yet that in a spiritual sense, that's where you are. You're on death row. And yet God, in grace and mercy and love to your soul, has sent his message, has sent his word, has revealed his gospel that tells how he, a just and holy God, can be just and righteous and yet pardon a guilty sinner like you and treat you as if you had perfectly kept his law at every point. You talk about grace. You talk about mercy. You talk about love. That's what the God of love and grace and mercy has done. And he can make this declaration concerning all who will come to trust in Jesus Christ. And he can make that declaration founded upon truth. Because God cannot make a declaration that isn't true. God can't do that. Because God cannot lie. So therefore God must do something that puts sinners in such a relationship to his law that he can declare them righteous according to that law. You see, when someone comes to trust in Christ, do you know what God does? Let me tell you what he does. He puts Christ's righteousness over to them. He makes the righteousness of his Son to be their righteousness. And what is the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ? It's a perfect righteousness. And that's the righteousness that the sinner needs. And you know, there's only one way to receive that righteousness. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. The only way a sinner like you can receive it is by faith. That's the only way. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is the pronouncement by the God of heaven. Righteous. Righteous and entitled to all of the privileges of a lawkeeper. That's the declaration that God makes. That's the pronouncement that God makes. Now, why does he do that? Why would God do that? Why would God make a pronouncement like that? Why would God provide a righteousness in his Son that he can make that pronouncement? Do you know the source of it all? His grace. His grace. Because God's the author of justification. God's the author of it. It's his grace. It's his grace alone. Nothing other than his grace. And you see, that means this, and with this I close, that the justifying declaration of God, that you have the righteousness of Christ in your account, means that it's not going to be altered by your performance. And you see, that's where our contention with the Church of Rome lies, over this great truth. Because what does the Church of Rome teach? That your performance, your works, will materially influence your standing before God. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Our justification is by free grace. And he pronounces every sinner righteous who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Have you done that? Are you saved? Because if you are, then know this, have this comfort, this consolation. I have got a righteousness that God accepts. It's the righteousness of my Savior. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he lived a perfect life. He lived that perfect life for a sinner like you, for a sinner like me. He died an atoning death as the price that had to be paid for the transgression of the law. Whose transgression? Not his, because Christ did not transgress God's law, but for your transgressions and mine. And therefore he provided that which every sinner needs, and which every sinner can only receive by faith. So as we draw the message to a conclusion, how is it with your soul? This great truth that was brought out of the rubble of neglect at the Reformation all those years ago, this great truth that's in keeping and in accordance with the teaching of God's Word, this tremendous doctrine that we have given just a little consideration to, can you say with Judgment Day honesty, well, yes, I have a righteousness. It's not my own. It's the righteousness of Christ, for I've trusted Him. I've believed on Him. There was a time when I realized that I was outside of Christ, without God and without hope in this world. But Christ is now my hope, for He is my righteousness. He is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. Make certain that you know that this declaration, this pronouncement, has been made by God concerning you. Let's bow in prayer.